gift of your Son and the forgiveness of my sins. And Lord, we just pray that your Spirit will be here among us and know that it is welcome here. In your name, amen. You may be seated. Okay. Okay, Easton Erickson. Okay, let's do that. Lord, let's bow, or let's bow our heads to the Lord. Lord, we come before you and we lift up Easton Erickson, a little 2-year-old from Warroad who's dealing with illness. And Lord, we know that you are the great physician, and we know that you can heal, Lord. And we know that is part of what you do and part of your omnipotent self, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for Easton and his family. And we just pray that you will lay your hands upon him, Lord, and that your will be done. And I just pray for those around him that they will heed the call to be of service in this situation if you call them to do so. And we just lift them up, Lord. And I just pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, thank you. Now, as we read in that scripture, it talked about the traditions, and there's nothing. I like tradition. I kind of like what to expect, but we want to make sure that, especially in our worship, that the traditions that we follow, and the traditions we cling to, is that the right word, are traditions that are ordained by God and not by men. And there's an illustration here. I'll have a couple of them as we go along. Why would some people buy a cat and tie it to the bedpost to show their reverence to God? Many years ago, a very poor holy man lived in a remote part of China. Every day before his time of meditation, in order to show his devotion, now remember, he was very poor, he put a dish of butter up on the windowsill as an offering to God, since food was so scarce. One day his cat came in and ate the butter. To remedy this, he began tying the cat to the bedpost each day before the quiet time. This man was so respected for his piety that others joined him as disciples in worshiping as he did. Generations later, long after this man was dead, his followers placed an offering of butter on the windowsill during their time of prayer and meditation, and each one bought a cat and tied it to the bedpost. So the idea that of the worship with the offering was good, but the tying the cat was something he did so that butter wouldn't be disturbed. And generations followed that said, well, this is what he did, so this must be the right way to do it. And we look at the Pharisees and those who are criticizing in this text. We read about what Jesus faced concerning the tradition of the elders and the washing of the hands before eating. You know, and I'm sure Jesus and his disciples knew they were in the Pharisees' view. And this is probably why, maybe this is why they didn't wash, because they probably knew they were being watched. And I'm not saying washing your hands before eating is a bad practice. It's something we should do. But this is different. And we'll look into it later, what the tradition was. The Jews washed their hands before eating or after returning from somewhere or before touching someone. And they washed their hands and held them up so the water would run down. They did a good job in the morning. And if they remained by themselves, the washing was good for the entire day. And like I said before, I don't think Jesus or the disciples are saying that you shouldn't wash your hands before you eat. But it was to give Jesus the opportunity to make a point. And it was said that people would come from miles away to discuss and ridicule Jesus and his disciples. So are we offering real service to the Lord, or should I say service from our inner being, heart service, I guess we'd call it, or do we just give lip service? And sometimes, you know, I'm guilty of it. But then as we look at Psalm 78, verses 35 to 37, then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. And by just offering lip service to God and not really, and not really serving him with our whole being, it's like we're lying to God when we profess something maybe on Sunday morning, but our lives don't reflect what we profess. And Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. And this tells us that those who just profess, and of course we're not to be judgmental, but the scriptures tell us that if they in their works they deny him, that it insinuates that they're not true believers. And if it's somebody who's a leader or a teacher, they tend to be false teachers. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And as we read that, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, and it's a false faith if they don't bear fruit. And it's a faith that says but does not do. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, he shall enter the kingdom. And this is a true faith, and if we have a true faith, it'll bear fruit. And I want to read Luke 6, verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Or why call me Lord and Master, and then just and then just don't follow through with what you say or what you profess? And the person with lip service maybe ought to, I don't know, just stay home, or God is not honored by them. It is just as we hear in our culture, talk is cheap if there's nothing to back it up. And lip service by itself is not sufficient. But if we have a heart for service, it produces obedience. And as we read in the scripture, a tree is known by its fruit. And we read those things in the book of James and elsewhere in scripture. And the heart, according to Jeremiah, is wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We are born with this sin nature through the fall of Adam. And we are born with a stubborn heart. And we have no real love in our hearts. Our natural inclination is unbelief, and we can have and with that unbelief we have no fear or concern for God's holiness, and we need to have that fear of God in our hearts. And that doesn't mean we know that God loves us, but we also know that God is all powerful and that his law must be fulfilled. And we avoid that wrath of God by accepting him and by giving our life to him, and that should show in the way we live. And he searches our heart. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I believe the thoughts of peace that he has for us should be an assurance of God's intention to bring about his blessings in our life. Then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And he says we will call upon him and pray to him and seek him and find him. And it gives us the opportunity through prayer, as we call upon him, to participate in his plan for our lives and for those around us. And we participate in that through sincere prayer. And as we look at the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders who were criticizing them for not washing, I'm going to read verses 3 and 9 in the text. I think I have them italicized there. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. And jumping down to verse 9, he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Now I have some study notes here in my Bible, and I'm going to read what it says there, especially concerning verse 3. To wash, and this washing had nothing to do with cleaning dirty hands, but with a ceremonial rinsing. The ceremony involves someone pouring water out of a jar onto another's hands, whose fingers must be pointing up as long as the water dripped off at the wrist. The person could proceed to the next step. He then had water poured over both hands with the fingers pointing down. Then each hand was to be rubbed with the fist of the other hand. And as we see in that verse, they talk about the tradition of the elders. They're not saying it's a commandment of God, but a tradition of the elders. And this was a law that the elders had supplanted from Scripture, as the they had come up with this. And I was reading the law of Moses, if we look back, only required priests to wash before eating holy offerings. And so washing was a tradition, but not a religious practice. And if we're not careful, our service can be only based on tradition. And you know, I enjoy the traditions that we have. We do things during our worship service that are important, but we gotta make sure that we're not just going through the motions as we read the confession of sins, as we confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. When we do that, let's look at what that actually says and apply it to ourselves. And also, as we every week we close with the Lord's Prayer, read, but don't just read the prayer, but pray the prayer, and once again, with all our hearts, mean the words that we say. And it's so easy to just get up and recite or just say these things, but we need to realize what these things are saying and telling us. So where do we stand? Are we giving God lip service, or are we serving God with our heart and with our and with all of our being? Do we just it's kind of easy to come here on Sunday mornings and put in the hour, and then do we just go about our business as usual, or do we look for ways to serve Him throughout the week and make the things real in our lives that we learn and that we participate on Sunday mornings? And Sunday morning worship and Sunday school and Bible study time should be times of preparation for us to learn and to fellowship together, and also to encourage one another in the work that we are called to do. So we come Sunday morning and sing praises, but what about Monday, as I just said? And do we serve God for the recognition we might get? I mean, it's kind of nice to be noticed if you do something well, or if you go the extra mile at times to serve. And do we just serve God Sunday mornings, or do we serve out of tradition, or do we really serve with a spirit of worship and wanting to please God? We got one more illustration, and then we'll come to the close here. Jewish synagogues have their problems too. Many congregations develop their own traditions, and they can fight over tradition. Now, I'm guessing this is a story. I'm not sure if this is actually something that happened, but it really illustrates what goes on and how traditions can be formed. And they fight over tradition, which is very important to them. During a service at an old synagogue in Eastern Europe, when the Shema prayer was said, half the congregants stood up and half remained sitting. The half that was seated started yelling at those standing to sit down, and the one standing yelled at the one sitting to stand up. The rabbi, educated as he was in the law and commentaries, didn't know what to do. His congregation suggested that he consult a 98-year-old man who was housebound, and he was one of the original founders of this temple. The rabbi hoped the elderly man would be able to tell him what the actual temple tradition was. So he went to the nursing home with a representative of each faction of the congregation. The one whose followers stood during Shema said to the old man, "Is the tradition to stand during this prayer?" Excuse me. The old man answered, "No, that is not the tradition." The one whose followers sat asked, "Is this the tradition? Is the tradition to sit during Shema?" The old man answered, "No, that's not the tradition." But the rabbi said to the old man, "The congregants fight all the time, yelling at each other about whether..." The old man interrupted, exclaiming, "That is the tradition." So, I mean, it's funny, it's humorous, but sometimes, the tradition was that they fight over this. But we just need to make sure that we're not getting caught up in the traditions, and make sure that the things that we do repeatedly are, are beneficial to us and beneficial to our worship. And then Mark 7, verse 13 from our text, and once again, I think it's in italics there. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So that makes the word of God no effect if we follow traditions that are not true to the word of God, and I would say it's undermining the authority of the word of God if we do such things. And then I just want to close with Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So Joshua here commits to serving the Lord and rejecting all others and the gods of the Amorites and those around them were false gods. But we know that there is so much around us, there is so much opposition to those who serve God and those who profess a saving knowledge of Him. And we need to be sure that we are worshiping in a manner that honors God and that rejects all others. So where does your heart stand? Is your whole inner being on the altar? Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the time we have together here, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we will, as we have our traditions in our worship lives and also in our personal lives, that the things we do and the things that we observe in the name of tradition are that all of them will be pleasing to you, Lord, and that we will look to your word for how we should behave and for the things that we should observe. Now, Lord, I just thank you again for this time this morning. And I just pray that as we go throughout the rest of this week, that we will serve you with our whole being, and that we will put our lives in such a, that we will live our lives in such a manner that it brings honor to you at all times. Just pray this in your name. Amen. Now turn your hymnals to page number 501. I have decided to follow Jesus. Page 501.